If you want to support this podcast and get a full ad-free episode, sign up to Headstuff Plus.
This episode is brought to you by Amazon Prime. You know Amazon Prime is not just a shipping subscription, right? It's got everything, including streaming TV and movies on Prime Video. And of course, Prime's fast, free shipping. Go from watching your favorite shows to getting your favorite things. Whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Visit amazon.com/prime to get more out of whatever you're into.
This show is part of the Headstuff Podcast Network.
Hi, I'm Gerard Farrelly.
And I'm Niamh Kavanagh.
And you're listening to Agony Rants.
Hello.
Hello, Niamh. It's been a very stressful morning.
I know, you're a little bit, you know, breathless right now.
I have just spilt...
water.
Full glass of water over the desk.
Well, I, you know what I think? I think the problem here is... they made us move from
recording our first one. We moved studios.
And this is not our natural home.
It's not our natural home. It's very newsreadery.
I was just thinking that. I feel like I want to shuffle the papers.
It's very Sky News. I was watching Sky News yesterday. Was it Sky News? I think it was Sky News. And there was a woman reading the news. And then there was another woman in the background staring at her screen with headphones on. But she was leaning right in. And her back, her was like upper back.
Oh no!
Like I'd say her blouse was starting at the middle of her back.
And the problem is, once you see that, there's nothing else you can see.
I know. Sure, you're welcome on television.
Oh no! Oh, you never get over that. I'm sorry, you never get over that. So, the only thing I have to say now is we missed an opportunity in the merchandise.
What we should have done
is put a sippy cup in so that you know you don't spill water.
Oh.
And then we could have had it in every video.
Because it's on video, what we could have done was we could have got all of those tote bags that we're not using to use to dry up the table.
Yeah, we could have done that. To be honest, when I ran out, that's the first thing I saw and I thought, oh.
Yeah, it's a very bad look, Niamh. Niamh, how have you been?
Well, I've been good, thank you. Do you know what? I'm doing that really old person thing and going, holy God, we're in the middle of March.
I know, yeah. I know.
I'm in full training for my Camino, so in less than a month, I'm going to be walking lots of kilometres.
Well, I just put a post-it note on the wall of my office.
Did you?
Yeah, with an idea. So that means
I'm
doing Edinburgh.
Edinburgh. Excited for Edinburgh.
I'm not excited for Edinburgh, Niamh. I feel like I'm looking down the barrel of a 12-gauge shotgun, to be perfectly honest with you.
No.
So I'm going to Edinburgh. I'm going for a whole month. I haven't booked my accommodation. I think I'm going to live with Joanne.
I have a...
She's going for 2 weeks.
I have a two-man tent, just in case you're...
Niamh. Do you know what? It wouldn't surprise me. The final indignity would be that I'm camped somewhere by the mound in Edinburgh. The mound being my career. I do you know what I was doing during the week? And I swear to God, as long as I live, I'll never do it again.
Oh.
I judged a stand-up competition. I know, it's not my bag.
I don't like judging. Well, I mean, don't get me wrong, I judge all the time. We're good at judging.
I don't mean public judging.
Yeah, I know, where you have to actually state your claim.
I didn't like it.
No.
I didn't like it. Because some of them were great, but you don't want to make the distinction, even though that's the point of judging.
I know. I know, but I understand what you're saying, right? In other words, I want everybody to win, even though they don't all deserve to win. Do you know what I mean?
Exactly.
But the reality is, you don't want to crush somebody's spirit, because 9 times out of 10, they're the ones who become successful, and then they go, he didn't think I was going to be anything.
That's true.
You know?
That's true. Because they say with those competitions that if you win them, it's kind of the kiss of death. Because you... No, sorry, Niamh, I didn't mean to. I phrased it badly.
Well, to be fair, I've lost one. I've won one and lost one. So, I mean...
The saviour of your career was losing that Eurovision in 2010, Niamh.
I don't really look at it as losing. You know that, right?
So. No, you don't. I never understood it. Never understood it. The leaderboard was there on the screen, Niamh.
Okay, move on.
And you were on the second column.
Yeah, but I was there.
You just scroll over.
I just want to be very clear. I was there.
The leaderboard was there and you were over here, Niamh.
I remember
the day. I remember.
Stop talking about it.
I remember that night, Niamh.
Thanks.
I'll tell you why, because I was gigging in Navan.
Really?
Where I also am on the 29th of...
Is that not the over yet?
In the Central. And I was gigging, and I went on stage, and the votes had started. And Niamh Cavanagh-McGahey, resplendent in purple.
I was.
Was looking very happy with herself because the votes had started to come in. I went on for 20 minutes. And I have to say, I did a great gig.
Oh, I'm so happy for you.
I was just
you.
Like, rattle this one out now because you can go back to the votes. Mm-hmm. Well, when I came off the stage, things had very much changed, Niamh. And you didn't look happy.
I was
you were
all right.
Holding the Irish flag like it was an axe.
I was all right, actually.
It was an axe, Niamh.
I was sweating. It was very warm in that dress.
Take the good from it, Niamh. You didn't have to sing it again.
I was wondering where the air vents were, you know, on the ground so I could stand over them to get a bit of air.
Like Marilyn Monroe?
Yeah, a little bit. Oh. I mean, to be fair, it was made of some sort of steel to try and suck me in, but it wouldn't have gone up the same way as a Marilyn Monroe dress, but at least I wouldn't have died of, you know, heat exhaustion. Yeah. No, but you know what, actually, to be fair, you were just talking about how it was the kiss of death if you won those. Did you win any of those competitions?
No.
Okay,
no.
So spoken as somebody who says...
No, because what happens is, right, I won one of them. I won an Irish one, right? Okay. But here's the thing. If you win them, you think, oh, I'm sorted now. But whereas if you nearly win them, you're like, come on.
Yeah.
One last push. And that's what happened.
You see?
I think. Because I just, you know. Do you know what, actually? Me and my boyfriend, we never watch stand up ever.
Okay.
Because he hates it.
Oh, well, fair enough.
Yeah. That's not fair enough, Niamh.
Yeah,
it's
it is.
An insult to my art.
You don't watch his work either. Oh, I'm just being very clear about
every
that.
Every so often he'll tell me a story about someone. I'm just like, how is this still going on? How has Elaine not sorted out this trivial life problem? When is she going to get her bathroom finished? Oh. Who knows? Tune in over the course of the next 6 months.
That's a
to hear the rest
that's
of this story.
That's the difference between us. I want to hear what's
my
going
gosh.
On with that bathroom.
I don't know what it is. He cannot tell the story.
Oh, I would have thought you'd be used to that now, hanging out with me all these years.
He cannot tell it. He'll start a story and he'll go, oh, well, I'll tell you what happened. And then he starts laughing. I'm like, you haven't told the funny one. You've no business laughing. Stop laughing.
It's so hard to be with a comedian.
And then he'll say, it's not mad. And I'm like, no, it's not mad. It's not. It sounds very ordinary. This story better be going somewhere. I've paused what we're watching.
It's really hard to be, you know, with a comedian because you have a tight 10 all the time.
It doesn't even have to be tight. You just have to have a beginning, middle and an end. Like, I think if you start a story, you should know how it ends. She can get halfway through and realise, you know what, I actually don't know the end of this, I'll ring her.
Anyway, don't go to stand-up.
He hates stand-up.
Right.
Hate stand-up. And a while ago, we were watching
Live at the Apollo.
We were flicking through.
Super.
Did I tell you this story?
No.
All right. We were flicking through, we were watching Live at the Apollo. And Josh Widdicombe was on, right? Josh Widdicombe, who is a
I know who
English
he is.
Comedian.
I know.
You made your point, Niamh.
I know all the comedians. So, I love stand-up.
Here's the thing about me and Josh Widdicombe. Is I was in So You Think You're Funny, the final, with Josh Widdicombe, right?
Okay.
Now, unfortunately, he's not the only famous person out of the 8 people that I was in the final with.
Okay,
right?
Who else was in it?
Sean Walsh, Sarah Pascoe.
Yep.
Josh Widdicombe, Daniel Sloss.
Wow.
Who else? There's a few more that are all like that level.
Okay.
Famous, right?
Okay.
And always Rankles, I'll be honest with you, that I'm the bottom of the pile.
You're not the bottom.
I am very much the... Niamh, they're on the side of buses. What do I get?
Look.
If something isn't selling, you're on that like screen that flicks by in a gym. Right? Anyway. So, Josh Widdicombe was on and I said to my partner, because we don't really talk about work, I said, you know, I was in the final of a competition with him. And I named a few of the other people and he's like, oh yeah, I have no idea who they are, but you seem upset about it, so I'll make the right noises.
Okay.
Which is the way our relationship works.
Excellent.
And I said, the only person... who I think is as unsuccessful as me from that final.
Okay, who is it?
Is Ahir Shah.
Ahir Shah.
Yeah. And Niamh, I'm not joking. I flicked off, like I went up a channel.
And there he was.
He was on television. It was his own stand-up special. And my boyfriend I didn't say anything because it rankled me. It hurt. I was too busy gasping for air.
There were no words. You weren't sure where to throw the wheelie bin.
Too busy gasping for air. And my boyfriend said, is that the guy? I was like, yeah, it is. Yeah, you made your point.
I quite like Josh Widdicombe.
Good. Delighted for you, Niamh.
And Sarah Pascoe.
One of the biggest podcasts in the world, he has.
That's very true.
Yeah.
He's amazing.
Yeah.
But you know I love you.
Yeah. Okay, Niamh.
And you make me laugh all the time. So.
Thank you.
I once did a gig where there was more people on stage than there was in the actual show.
I did.
It was amazing.
I did want to hear a story of a man that did his whole solo show in Edinburgh to...
A cat?
No, he thought there was somebody there, but it was actually the same man that has put his jacket on the back of a chair.
That's amazing.
Isn't that horrific?
I would write a whole show around that.
No, I remember one year I had 12 people in on the last day, because the last day of Edinburgh is the Monday, right?
Yeah, so people kind of...
So people don't... Like people always go, oh, it'll sell if you say the Monday. I was like, okay, fine, I'll do the Monday. Oh, Niamh. And to say it was silence.
Yeah.
Silence. And then at 35 minutes, I literally said, do you know what? Fuck the lot of you, I'm going home. And I did.
Wow.
That was my last, that was the last show of Garode Less Travels 2015.
I've never been able to use that as a tagline on my gig.
Yeah. That's what I said. Fuck the lottie. I'm out of here.
I'm not going to lie. Many times I've wanted to.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Mm.
Yeah. Sometimes what you need to end a show is the manifestation of an attitude problem and an overestimation of your own importance.
If ever there was something that needs to be sewn onto a pillow, that's it.
Do you want to send me a text during the week and she said, I've just seen this great quote and it says that whenever you start to take your work seriously, that's the first sign of a nervous breakdown. Well, I think it is.
I agree.
Niamh, I am on the last leg of my Glamour Hammer tour. I know you're furious about this, but I have shows to promote, Niamh. A lesson learnt in a 60% full room in Longford.
Okay.
So promote the shows, girl.
60% full?
Yeah.
That's not bad. The way you made it sound, it was like three people at it.
No, it was 60%. That's not good, Niamh. That's not good.
It's not absolutely bad.
However, I have shows all around the country left to sell. Loads of tickets. I will be in the Dock on Carrick and Shannon on the 9th. And I will be in Friarsgate in Limerick on the 8th. And I will be in the Pavilion on the 15th of March. Linen Hall in Castlebar on the 29th of March and the Hill Comedy Club in Care on the 30th of March. I'm doing two shows.
Is that you then? 30th of March?
No, that's just the one that could be bothered reading. No, there's April, May and June.
Jesus wept. You know what? This is like the
Your
long
support means
goodbye.
Everything, Niamh. Your support means everything. Thank you.
This episode is brought to you by Amazon Prime. You know Amazon Prime is not just a shipping subscription, right? It's got everything, including streaming TV and movies on Prime Video. And of course, Prime's fast, free shipping. Go from watching your favorite shows to getting your favorite things. Whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Visit amazon.com/prime to get more out of whatever you're into.
We are pausing for a moment to remind you that Agony Rants is part of the Headstuff Podcast Network. A network of curious, creative people creating listening pleasure for your ears.
Wow, you thought a lot about that sentence before you said
did.
It, didn't you?
I really did.
Realistically, you know, this is 120 odd episodes in. I think at this stage, people know we're part of the Head Stuff.
They do indeed. Yes, they have not subscribed. If you subscribe to Head Stuff Plus, you will be supporting the show that you love.
Yeah.
You will get bonus content from the show that you love, which is Vintage Rants, our yes. bonus show. And you will also get bonus content from all of the shows on the Head Stuff Podcast Network.
Pretty amazing now, I have to say.
It's a good deal.
It is a good deal.
Also, if you would like to support the show, you could buy our merch. We have mugs. We have totes.
We have totes. We have many totes.
A lot of totes.
Totalicious.
We are totalicious.
Aren't we supposed to be promoting something here?
Yeah, we are supposed to be promoting another show from the Head Stuff Podcast Network. A show that
they haven't told us
we
what
are
it is
sure
yet.
Is absolutely brilliant, but we've been in the studio all day and nobody can tell us what it is. So
we're going to be as delighted as you are to find out what this show is.
But all of the shows on Heads of Network are very good.
Yeah, no, they are, really.
And I am going to hazard a guess that I will say the show that we're cross-promoting is Keep It Tight, which is the new show by Emma Doran and Deirdre O'Kane.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Deirdre O'Kane's doing a podcast.
Lovely.
Yeah, finally, enough doors of shutting the woman's face to do a podcast. And we're absolutely thrilled about it because she's fab.
We love her.
That's why people do podcasts, Niamh.
Why?
When they're finally ignored by traditional media, they turn to podcasting.
Well, you didn't
tell me that. Sorry, I should have told you that 100 episodes ago.
What are you saying?
Your media perception has changed horribly since you've started this show. You did a good run. 30 years, Niamh. You did a good run.
I'd have lived a blissful life.
Game over.
Here's a clip.
We have a follow-up.
Right, and this is a long follow-up.
We have a long follow-up, and we have this follow-up from Elaine, who is from For Tech's Sake. Dear Niamh and Geraint, huge fan of your work, as you know, from my stalking at the Irish Podcast Awards. Highly commended. Whoop. Do you know what?
They stop
can keep
now.
Highly commended.
I would like just to be highly commended with a certificate.
We're never end. Exactly. Exactly. Something we can put on a wall, please.
Yeah.
I was just listening to your episode with the problem from Naomi about her chronically late friend, and can give you some uplifting news from the other side of this dilemma. You and Niamh have clearly never been latecomers, but I was definitely a chronic one and very proud to be able to confidently put that in the past tense. I wouldn't say I'm perfectly punctual now, but I have definitely turned around my tardiness and I have my friends to thank for it. We were a gang of 2/5 timekeepers and 3/5 latecomers. And while it became a running joke, like for your listener, that humour can also become a way to voice your disappointment in a way that doesn't get the defences up quite like an outright confrontation would. My lovely friend Linda, who lost far too many minutes of her life waiting for our tardy arses to show up for her, was particularly skillful at taking the piss in a way that also conveyed that this was disrespectful of her time and not a good way to behave, just as you so wisely advised your listener to convey to her friend. I will say the tactic of lying about the start time was also deployed for our group, but I can see how this would be challenging for Naomi, seeing as she's probably arranging things in group chats and in the moment. Oh, that's a very good point. And in the moment during a prior meetup.
There's nothing worse than a sneaky WhatsApp group. Sure, there isn't.
I know,
a
yeah.
A side group. Because you nearly always forget which one you're supposed to be posting in.
The Not Niamh group. Oh. So it's hard to have a sneaky aside. And an exclusionary group chat is probably not going to help things in the long run, especially if it becomes the space where they go to complain about your one being late.
Oh, yeah.
But like I said, I bring good tidings from the other side and can say that I took on board what my friends were saying when they brought up my lateness, even as a joke, and worked hard to rid this from my repertoire. It will sound absurd to you on time angels, but for me, I was just truly terrible at timekeeping. I always thought I could do more in the time I had, or completely underestimated how long it would take to do something. See, that's a very interesting point.
It is, yeah.
Yeah, it's not just timekeeping. It's how much you think you're going to be able to get done.
Yes,
how,
I know.
You know, it's time estimation. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Niamh said it's about prioritisation, which is very true. But I also think you fundamentally have to own up to an inability to keep time well and work to develop that skill. I am lucky, or cursed, to be with a particularly prompt partner who was exceptional at timekeeping. We actually play a game sometimes where I randomly ask him to guess the time and he's hardly ever more than 5 minutes out. When he tells you his time of arrival, he's always spot on. He has an instinct and innate sensibility that I lacked, and I had the advantage of learning from him in the early days of trying to better myself. Instead of going with my own terrible time estimates, I started consulting with an expert. Do you think that's enough time to do all of this and get here by 7? The answer was inevitably not a chance.
So who's the expert? Was it him?
Her partner.
It sounds like a real fun thing because they just play that game all the time.
Well, it does. But I can see how if you're the on-time person, I don't know. Is it good to... See, this it depends on your relationship, right?
Yeah.
Is it good to show your massive vulnerability to someone that is excellent at that?
Yeah, but here's the thing, right? sometimes you can become really rigid about things. My husband has an alternate sense of space and time. I think he might be a time lord in another place, right? But the reality is I've had to accept elements of that, but I don't have to live it, which is why we don't travel in the same car quite often.
Yeah.
Because I can't cope with the level of stress involved in it. And, yeah, that's, like, and that is about me, yeah, right? That's about me. But actually, I think it's, you know, but that's because I'm coming from a place where I like to be on time.
Yeah.
But you have to forgive some people. Maybe they just, you're right, they don't process the same way. You know, I'm getting what Elaine is saying there.
And let me tell you, bad timekeepers, Google can only tell you so much. You're dealing with the vagaries of Irish roads and transport, and leaving even 1 minute later than the time indicated will have a domino effect that will see that time difference grow exponentially. She's a very techie person.
It's fantastically written.
Google also can't account for that stop off at an ATM on the way, or that you'll have to run back because you forgot your keys. You were frazzled because you were running late. Or that your other friend wasn't ready for the pickup. Or the fact that the Irish bus service doesn't give a fuck what any schedule says, and those buses will come or not as they please. You need to cushion those Google Maps journey predictions. You'll only figure out your necessary cushioning with a lot of trial and error. As I said at the top, I'm still not clocking 100% at this. I'm far from a natural timekeeper, so this is something I really have to work at. But I am very glad I did improve it. Being late all the time was very hard on the L anxiety, and I'm grateful to the Lindas and Naomis who call us out because they want us to be better. I doubt you'll ever be so stuck for content you'll have to read this out, but Garode, you sounded so suddenly thoroughly sick at the end of the episode. I hope you were okay after it, or at the very least got plenty of fluids and rest. I did. Keep up the great work. Listening to you guys is like a warm hug. Lots of love, Elaine, who is a science tech journalist, editor and broadcaster.
Went very high.
Elaine's brilliant. She can write a great email.
Yeah, that's a fantastic and beautifully written.
Beautifully
lovely
written.
Punctuation. Everything's fabulous.
It's been reread, essentially, which is not something our listeners do.
It's a little pet hate for Grode. But actually, she's right. There's all sorts of things that get in the way. I think for us who'd like to keep time, we like to see somebody trying, at least making an effort. But it does get very stressful if you're apologising all the time. You know, oh, I'm really sorry, I'm really sorry. I hate that. It's just really difficult to deliver.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
I mean, you know, but thanks for getting in touch, Elaine.
Thanks, Elaine. It's giving hope to all of you late
people
out there.
It is, for sure.
Niamh, we have a problem.
We do. Dear Niamh and Garode, firstly, I want to tell you how much I enjoy listening to your splendid podcast. I absolutely adore you both. I, of course, knew Niamh from Eurovision, but Garode, I was new to you and think you are absolutely hilarious. You see?
Thank you.
You see? Critics love you. Myself and my boyfriend went to see your show in London and it was so exciting. We got our photograph with Joanne, who was in the audience, and then we forgot to get it with you.
This is the sort of shit that I have to put up with.
Oh, that's hilarious. We absolutely love the show and we'll definitely be there the next time. Please come back soon and please bring Niamh. She wants a Eurovision song.
Translation, you could do with a better finale.
No. Translation is, wouldn't it be really funny, right? If they got a photograph with me and forgot to get another photograph.
That's what happened. Yep.
Just saying.
Yep.
I'm writing here because I have a problem, of course. I moved to London in 2016 and I have had a great time here. But it is quite an impersonal place. I've never wanted to live here forever. I just wanted a change of scenery. I've really enjoyed it, but I really want to move on somewhere else. Cut to last August, I met my boyfriend, Joe, who is from Surrey. He has a good job and lives in a nice place in Islington.
Well, well, well.
Well, well, well. Does he own it?
Well, or does he rent? In Islington.
Yeah, maybe.
Nice.
We get on incredibly well, but to my mind, I am moving out of London, most likely home to Ireland. That is important to me because I don't want to live in London. I am more or less living with Joe because I live in a shared house. But last week he asked me officially to move in with him.
Okay.
All right. I do not want to stay in London. I think we're very clear on that point now at this point, Natalie. And Joe has said numerous times that he could never live outside of London, though he has said he would consider Dubai, because that's right beside London, as he travels back and forth for work. I don't know what to do. I'm afraid to open Pandora's box. I know we have to have a talk, but I don't know where to start. Looking forward to your signature tough love, Natalie.
Do you know,
I just want to say this, right? For someone who has said, I do not want to live in London about 700 times to us.
Yes.
I'm really wondering, has she even ever once intimated to him that she didn't want to live in London?
Do you know what? I think you're absolutely right. I don't think she has. I genuinely don't think she has. I think that what she has done is she has said in her head, 2 years ago, I'm moving back to Dublin in 2024.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's as much as she's thought about it.
Yeah.
Like, whereas her life has like, when you met a boyfriend in London who said he doesn't want to live anywhere but London.
That should have been a red flag immediately.
It should, you know.
Saying, I love you, but, you know, you're gorgeous, but quite frankly.
A light should have gone off on the dashboard where you said, you know what? I don't want to live here.
Yeah.
But I feel like you've gone very far down the...
You have, actually.
The rabbit hole with this. And I don't... This is weird because I think you're going to have trouble changing this.
Well, you're not going to have trouble changing it. Somebody's going to have to give somewhere.
Yeah. And the other thing, like, if you don't mind me asking, why do you want to move back to Ireland?
People get misty-eyed about coming home.
See...
No, listen, sometimes it works out really well, right?
Yeah, sometimes, but I do think that people leave for a reason. And then when they want to come home for a reason, I don't think that, you know, is it about wanting to come home or is it about not being settled?
It could be that. It also might be that she's not doing what she wants to do.
Yeah.
And the thing is, sometimes you come home and it's lovely for the brief time you're home and you forget that everybody's sitting in exactly the same place that you left them.
Exactly.
And that's why you left in the first place.
Like, you going home. Yeah, exactly. That's exactly it, though, because you going home, you've got to remember what it was that made you want to leave in the first place.
Yeah.
And if you're confronted with that when you go home, how, you have to ask yourself how that's going to make you feel. Because if you go... That's how murders happen. Do you know what I mean? Like, the first time you see the people in the pub that you were like, oh God, I can't believe I'm sitting with this person again.
Yeah, it's a nice place to visit, but you wouldn't want to live there. That's kind of the thing, isn't it?
Exactly. And is it worth... Like, if you feel you've got
a future with Joe... Is it worth
losing
him?
Yeah.
You're 8 months together and clearly you're having a lovely time.
And I'll tell you this, if you live in London and you're considering Dubai, you are not moving to Ireland.
No. He's not... No, she's not going to move... Oh, no. He's not going to move.
He's not going to move here.
No. But have you even intimated this in any way?
And here's the interesting thing.
Or does he know this? And is he... Sorry to cut across here. Is he asking you to move in with him so that he gets his way, that you don't move home?
Maybe... Well...
What do you think?
Possibly.
Get his way.
But I would say that what's happened here, and this is where you're on... This, I think, is where you've made a massive mistake.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it's not insurmountable, but it is a mistake. Because you are very clear where he wants to live and about his living situation. And by the reading of this letter, he has no idea about yours.
No.
He has no idea that you want to move home to Ireland. And yet he's already told you he would like to live in London or Dubai. He's asking if you want to move in with him. He's, you know, I guess, got his eyes on the future of this relationship, whereas you are hiding... your future from him.
You're thinking, I want to go home to me, mammy.
So if you want this, like, if you want this to work, you do have to be a little bit more honest.
Well, here's the thing, though. In the first, you know, the first instance of you saying that why you don't, you moved to London, you had a great time, it's a bit impersonal, I never wanted to live here forever, just change the scenery and all that. And then you say, I really want to move on somewhere else, but you're not specific there. And then suddenly you're like, I want to come home, I want to come home, I want to come home.
Exactly.
But you know, maybe it's not about coming home or even moving from London. Maybe it's actually moving emotionally somewhere where you feel more excited or interested.
I will say this. You can come home at any age.
Yeah, you
but
can.
There does come a time when it does come a time where you feel too old to move somewhere else.
When does that happen?
No, but like you do, you kind of feel like, oh, I should have done that in my 20s or I should, you know, like you feel, if you will get settled. Like if you get settled in a place, it's hard to go to somewhere unknown.
Well,
but at any age, you can go home.
Yeah. Oh, no.
You're not starting afresh.
Well, you kind of are, actually, because my sister-in-law is about to move home and like she's been living in London for maybe 40 years.
Really?
Yeah. So it's kind of a big step, because so anyone she knew, well, mind you, Some of them might be still there. But, you know, she doesn't have a relationship with those
yeah.
people.
But I think you always, like, if you know the lay of the land of yes. a place, you'll always slot back into it easier than, you know.
No, no, I agree
with
you.
When you go to a new place and you're like, where's
but
the
But it's also a place that you can resent very fast.
Oh, God, yeah.
You know, that's the problem. You have these kind of soft, squidgy feelings about coming home, and then suddenly you kind of come home and you go, oh, my God.
Exactly. I think what you need to do is, firstly, you need to chat to Joe and just go, hey, I planned on moving back to Ireland. How's that sitting with you?
Okay.
And let's just see if the offer for you to move in is still on the table. I do think you have to be honest with him because she's kind of been...
No. Without a doubt, that's a conversation that has to happen.
She's been underhanded, I think, a little bit. I mean,
she's deceived herself, really. She's just saying, I'm going along with this. She's just really fallen in. But, you know, I'll be honest with you. You really need to have a little chat with yourself, actually, first, Natalie.
Right? Well, I will say this, right?
As a mammy, I'm going to tell you, if I was your mother, I'd be saying to you, you need to really think about what it is you really want to do and why you want to do it.
I think he has. I think they start going out in August.
Mm-hmm.
If you're get to October and you haven't mentioned this,
yeah,
it's kind of a bit ropey. And this is March.
Yeah, I know.
So
I can't believe this hasn't come up in the conversation.
Exactly.
So clearly you haven't been discussing the fact that you're thinking about going home, right?
You know,
the other thing is, you know, he says, oh, he's definitely going to stay in London and he's not moving from London and he might go to Dubai because that's where he works. Clearly, he's very set in what he's doing. You know, so his life is set and he's happy. He might be less happy if you're going, to be fair, which would be nice. But you know what I mean? Like, I think realistically, you have to decide whether you really want to be with this man and then find out if you can find a compromise in there. Because I think your decision has to be about what you want. And then you go and see how you can make that work.
Exactly.
Because if tomorrow he suddenly decided, because here's an interesting question, right? What if he says, I'll go to Ireland with you? What would your reaction be, Natalie?
I'd say she'd be delighted.
Do you?
I do. I think...
Listen, if I really cared about someone, right? If I really, really cared about someone.
Yeah.
I'd have already had this big conversation. This wouldn't have been a conversation, right?
Do you think she's out the door?
No, I think she's keeping one foot out the door.
Oh.
Because, you know, she's using it as a way of saying, that's why I think you have to have a chat with yourself, Natalie. And it's not a bad thing. You might be loving him and thinking he's a great guy, but maybe you don't see your future with him. Because if you were, you'd be finding ways. Now, I'm not saying he has to stay and get his way. What I'm saying is this a test for him to see if he loves you enough? Is this a test whether you actually love him?
And I think
definitely at the very least, you have to be honest with yourself.
Yeah, exactly.
Do you not think so?
Well, yeah. I mean, that's a yes or no. Do you see your future with Joe? But I tell you what I wouldn't do. And this, I think, would be the nightmare situation.
Yeah.
Is you go back to Ireland by way of having a soft breakup with Joe. If you're not happy with Joe, don't go back to Ireland to get away from him.
No,
just break up with him.
No, that's what I mean.
Yeah.
In a weird way, when you read this, what I'm saying is, when you read this, she said, I don't want to live in London. I don't want to live in London. But she's, you know, I think if you care about someone, you've got to think, take into their consideration. I'm not saying she has to live in London, but if she cares enough about him, she would have already had this conversation.
Yeah. Okay, well, let us know how you get on.
I'm really excited to hear about this, Natalie. I think you've got good instincts. I think you'll figure it out. But I think you're just...
I think she's got good instincts and she'll figure it out if she wants to. But I do think she also has her head in the sand.
Yeah.
And she's quite comfortable to be there.
I mean, what's going to happen is she's going to find herself living in Islington and she's going to go...
How bad?
No, it's not a bad thing.
How bad?
It's not a bad thing. Isn't it lovely that he wants to make it official and for you to move in with him? I think actually there's another thing that's happened there. Now, she's always had the potential of moving home. I think moving in with him is another thing.
Yeah,
you know, so maybe that's why you're going, I need to go home.
What you need to do is you need to ask yourself how you feel about the relationship, because then it'll all just stem from that.
You'll figure it out from there.
Keep us posted. Ooh. Niamh, we have another problem.
I love another problem.
Dear Niamh and Geraud, I love listening to the pod every Monday. I'm useless at keeping up with podcasts I like, but even when I miss it, I love a Saturday morning binge to catch up when I'm cleaning the house. You guys always put a smile on my face. I work in retail and was a manager in a well-known store during an armed robbery in 2022.
Oh, Aidan, I'm so sorry that happened.
Oh my God, it's very exciting. Scary. Yeah, scary as well, but exciting.
Well, I once walked in on a robbery.
Niamh, we've had this conversation before. You didn't. You walked out of a chipper as someone was going into
no,
rob it.
No, I walked into a pub. See, you didn't listen. I knew you didn't listen. I walked into a pub and a man was coming at me with a hammer and a till under his, you know, the drawer under his arm. You see, you didn't listen.
So you got out of somebody's way.
Yeah, eventually. It was threatening in those moments. Don't diminish.
You got out of somebody's way. You didn't walk in an armed robbery.
Don't diminish. Oh, if that had happened to you, the level of drama.
Not an 80s
the
cop
level
show.
Of drama that you would have given into it. Go on.
I still have counselling and. Sorry. I probably should say that with less enthusiasm. I still have counselling and stepped down from my role as store manager.
See, Aidan, he doesn't care.
I was the straw. It was the straw that broke the camel's back, and I was happy to give up the responsibility for a while. I wasn't sleeping at all, and the smallest thing was a big deal. But you were traumatised.
Yeah, it's very difficult.
I felt that I couldn't be responsible for other people when I was barely keeping myself together. Here is the thing. I am now feeling a lot better and I would like to step back into my old job. I am on a temporary secondment and it has been very helpful, but I am feeling good about returning to my job and career. This is my problem. My area manager is an absolute nightmare. She is a bully and very aggressive, and I could tell when I spoke to her about my issues that she didn't care at all and did perceive me as weak. Oh my God, what a cow!
Are we projecting much?
But at the time, I just needed to worry about myself and not that horrible piece of work.
Good on you, Aidan.
I don't know how to approach her to start the ball rolling. I feel I need a bit of a push to get me started. Love what you do, Aidan.
First of all, congratulations. You're on the road to recovery. You're really looking to take responsibility. I think that's a brilliant
He's
thing.
He's back from the edge of the cliff. Niamh.
I love it.
Well done.
I love it. And you know, that takes work. So I will recognise that because, you know, after that man came at me with a hammer, it took me work.
Niamh, that is not the... Niamh, it's not the same.
I know, I
a
know.
A man with a garden implement and a till drawer. It's not the same as an armed robbery.
But he did have a mask on. No, no. Listen, I'm not belittling what happened to Aidan. It's very traumatising and I'm really... I can understand the work that you've had to put in to get to where you are.
Yeah, exactly.
And I really love that you want to step up. So here's a couple of observations. The area manager is an absolute nightmare. No doubt she's probably a harridan. She's probably one of these, you know, nightmares that come into your life. But if you can stand up to her and tell her very clearly what you want, and stand up to her is the wrong word, but if you can go to her and say, this is what I want, I feel... recovered enough to go and take my space, I'm ready to do that. The thing about that is, what it doesn't say to her that you're ready if you're really finding that difficult, right? So you know what I mean?
Yeah.
In some ways, if you're ready to step up, you have to be able to deal with her, because you know, as store manager, you're going to have to deal with stuff.
That's a harsh point, well made, Niamh.
You know, but I mean it in the best possible way, Aidan. I know you can cope with this woman if you think you are. Don't think of her as thinking you as weak, because then you're allowing her to make you feel. So you'll approach it from that point of view. It doesn't matter what she thinks. The point is, you go in there and you say, listen, thank you for helping me with my recovery and giving me that space. But quite frankly, now I'm ready to step up. And I want to know what procedure now is in place and how I can get back in there.
And I would imagine, right, that after that happened, everything that followed... they have a policy for like armed robbery and all that sort of stuff. So I would imagine you've just clicked into... whatever that policy is.
Yeah.
I don't think that you have been given a favour by asking to step down. I think you're entitled to everything you've been given based on what you've been through on behalf of the company.
Absolutely. So, and you've taken that time and been sensible.
Absolutely.
And recovered and dealt with your recovery, which is always a very good thing.
Yeah, which is a good thing. And I think that the area manager doesn't have a leg to stand on and you asking for your old job back or to, you know, to be asking to be reinstated. I think that all of the policies will be on your side. So that might give you a bit of confidence going into it.
Let's say you're a store manager and you have all those credentials and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Can you not transfer them to another place? Would it be easier to go, not
to move
easier,
on?
To find a new space? Sometimes going back into a space brings you back into where you were. Now, I'm not saying that moving on is always the answer, but maybe the skills that you have will work elsewhere. What do you think?
I think that if he goes back to his old, I think he should go back to his old job first. His jumping off point should be he was the store manager of this job, as opposed to he was the store manager and then he left because this thing happened. And then from that point, he's going to get a new job. I think you should go back, be reinstated in your old job.
But then actively look elsewhere.
And if she's a problem, just go.
Yeah. Because you have skills.
Or start looking. I don't mean
if
go.
If you were a store manager, you were definitely, you have skills, Aidan. She is the least of your worries in the sense that you view her as your first challenge as a store manager. You know, how would you manage someone who was difficult coming into you into the store? So just view her like that.
What I would do is, if I was him, I would put on a hockey mask. I would break into her house with a chainsaw at 3 o'clock in the morning. And they go, oh, you've been deeply traumatised, have you? Aiden, well, now we're finally on the same page.
Aiden, there you go. There you go. That's what you were hoping for from here. There's no doubt about that.
I would say just push against the resistance that you feel in your head.
Yeah. Because actually, you might be creating more resistance yourself. You know, the thing is, she might be an owl hag, you know, and she might have all those attitudes, but she's welcome to have them over there as long as you get what you want.
Do you know what I'd love? I'd love a little bit of CCTV footage.
Of her?
Of her being a cow.
Yeah.
I find that fascinating. Did I tell you that this happened to me before? One of my friends was being bullied by a manager. And I was over in his house and I was collecting something and he was on a Zoom.
Right.
With her.
Oh.
So I was just...
In the background?
Like in,
they didn't know. She didn't know.
Everyone was collecting, burning a case.
The manager didn't know.
She didn't know. She didn't know.
Oh.
So I overheard. What a piece of work.
And what did you do with that?
I said, you never have another meeting with that woman unless you're recording it.
Well done.
Yeah.
Well done.
Record.
Yeah.
Well, actually, that's not what I said. I was like Insta live. But you settled for recording.
Recording. Okay. That was very measured response for you.
I know, yeah. I have to say, nothing pisses me off than these people who are...
Have a little bit of power.
A little bit of power, yeah.
And they wield it. And they think that makes them somebody. I hate that. I really hate that. I do. And honestly, Aidan, you don't give her any more power. Just go and get what you deserve. You know what I mean? Like, it's, you know, you earned the right to be store manager. You have every right to be there. So go and... Look, go and understand that you're good enough to do it.
Things have really changed as well. Like an armed robbery in 2022, you get time off after it. I remember when I worked in a newsagent and when I joined, they said it's a hurl onto the counter in case somebody tries to rob the place.
But no, nowadays they say go ahead and take the stuff. You're not allowed to, allowed to actually intercept them taking it out.
Oh God, no, I wouldn't touch it.
You're not allowed to even engage.
But back then it was like,
them.
Yo, here's a hurl. See if you can snap the gun out of their hands.
Did you practice? No, did you practice
didn't.
Throwing it from an now hurling?
I tell you, the only thing that Rob stuff out of that shop was me.
Road, you said that on.
I did.
Edit.
Do you know what I used to do? I'll tell you what I used to do. I used to. It was the scratch cards.
You robbed scratch cards.
What I would do is I would keep scratching until I'd won enough to cover what I'd stolen. I mean, technically everyone got paid.
Okay, that's
but
weird.
I did have a few hairy moments though. You know, I'm up to €80 and there hasn't been a, you know, then you win 3 stars and you're like, I need to get on winning streaks at the tail of balance.
Me and Marty. Wouldn't have been funny if I'd been there spinning the wheel for the 3 stars.
You used to spin the wheel for the...
I did it. Not regularly. I wasn't like the girl at the side. I was like, you know, as a celebrity.
You go on as a celebrity to spin the wheel?
Yeah.
That's hilarious. How many times did you do that?
Maybe twice, to be
fair. Did you sing?
You just went and spread and...
Did you not go on singing in your eyes?
Marty. No, I sang in your eyes practically every other program thing that existed. But not that one. But that...
Mate, that's absolutely hilarious. Would you come on and spit? Like, and you were like, yeah.
You would do it too. You would do it
what
too.
What was the fee, Niamh? What was the fee?
The fee was all right, yeah. I'm not telling you. The best part about that
this
program.
This is Niamh Kavanagh. Do you want to sing? Do you want to sing, Niamh? No, thank you. I'll spin the wheel and take me check.
The best part of that show was watching Billy Joe the Hob, who hadn't actually come out of his village ever in his flap cap, winning an exotic holiday. And his family down the back going, we'll help you out with that, Granda.
That was, I always used to love that. Like the old man and women. Like there was always these people who were like literally on their last legs. But someone had bought them a scratch car for their birthday, and they literally their supporters
they
came up.
They didn't even know why they were there. They were literally, because their name was on the book, they had to go. But they had no clue what was going on.
These vultures with a banner sitting in the studio, all pissed on free, pissed on cheap wine. Dying to get a little cut of the winnings.
I love winning streak. I love the people. I remember the first time I showed my husband it because he'd never seen it. And he said, that's where all the real people are now. You know the way on TV years and years and years ago, well, you're probably young, but years and years ago when you saw the public on TV, they didn't know how to cope. They never spoke properly on the TV.
And
they didn't know what to do with themselves.
We've had a lovely day.
Yeah. No, they didn't know how to cope with it. Nowadays, every one of them is a media star, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Do you know what I mean? They're so media savvy now. But back then...
I remember when I started doing comedy, I remember hearing that the warm-up of Winning Streak... was like the studio warm for Winning Streak was one of like the worst gigs you could ever get.
Oh yeah, no.
Because it was
nobody.
You were a lamb to the slaughter.
Oh no, definitely.
Oh God.
I just remember one time I got so much eye makeup on me that my eyes started to run, and it was like
during Winning Streak.
I looked like Alice Cooper. I'm sure there's a video. Anyway.
Career you've had.
I know, but this isn't helping Aidan in any way, right?
Aidan's beyond help.
He is not.
Well, no, he's done all the work he needs to do. He needs to just go in and say, listen, bitch, I'm going back to my office.
Yeah.
Get out. If you have any problem, talk to management.
Wow. Oh, she is management,
you know,
to be fair.
No, her management. I tell you what the problem is, Aidan. You are treating her with respect she hasn't earned.
No, well, that's very true. Very, very, very true.
Exactly. You're welcome.
We have faith in you, Aidan.
Even if you don't have faith in yourself, we have faith in you.
Go get her.
Listen, this has been all over the shop.
It was a change of studio. It freaked us out.
It was
the
change
of
studio.
And then there was
a
whole water debacle.
Water spilling. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I know.
It's been wonderful to chat to you, as always, Niamh Cameron McGahey.
You're so lying. So lying.
It has, Niamh.
It's
been an absolute treat.
Okay.
Always. Do to record a vintage rant.
We do.
Jesus Christ, it's like we're down the mines.
Well, the only reason we're recording in vintage rants
is because I put the episode out.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah, you made your point.
Okay.
Niamh, it's been wonderful to talk to you.
I know,
we haven't helped these people.
In any way.
As episodes go, this is not the flagship episode to tell your friends to listen to. You're trying to encourage them to become a fan of Agony Rants.
Solve their lives.
We are where we are. agonyrants@gmail.com if you want to get in touch. We would love if you would become a member of Headstuff Plus. Bags, tote bags.
Totes.
We have thousands and thousands of tote bags.
Never trampoline on a balcony.
Never use a trampoline in the balcony.
Yeah.
And what was the other one?
I can't remember.
Yeah, never underestimate the value of a well-placed leaflet.
Mm.
So yeah, go buy them for the love of Christ.
Before we're thrown off the network.
And we will chat to you soon.
Right, bye.
This show is part of the Headstuff Podcast Network, a hub for the creative and the curious. Shows are produced in association with Headstuff and the Podcast Studios Dublin. Find out more or become a member at headstuffpodcasts.com.
If you want to support this podcast and get a full ad-free episode, sign up to Headstuff Plus.